When best-selling author Margaret Dickinson releases a new novel, it's more than just another chapter, it's an event. And her latest, No Greater Love, published by Pam Macmillan, proves exactly why. This gripping, heart-rending tale that tugs at the heartstrings and transports readers to another time is full of love, loss and emotional triumph. No Greater Love is set in rural Derbyshire in 1904, leading up to World War I. It follows Lady Elizabeth Ingham, who, after a personal tragedy and a broken engagement, becomes a nanny at Alston in the Dale Manor. There she cares for a troubled boy, finding healing and a second chance at love as the world edges towards war. It's Margaret Dickinson at her best, emotionally rich, historically vivid and deeply human. You'll be gripped from the very first page. Yep, it's time to get out the box of tissues. And to tell us all about it, my special guest today is my great friend, the great lady herself, Margaret Dickinson. Margaret, how's things?
Hello, Graham. They're fine, thank you. How's you?
Oh, brilliant. Much the better for speaking to you. Congratulations on your 32nd novel. So, come on, tell me, why did you choose the title No Greater Love for this novel? And does it hold a particular significance in relation to the story's themes?
Yes, I think it does. I always like to try to get a title that sort of says something in the about the book itself, about the sort of feel of it. And it's this young woman who, you know, should be out having fun and living her own life, but she devotes herself to this little boy who has had a succession of nannies who can't cope with him. And the family, his family and the servants who work in the manor, they do their best, they're very devoted to him, but they just don't know how to deal with him. But she, and the trouble was caused a long time ago. It hasn't got a medical problem, it's not that. It's just the way he was treated by an earlier nanny, his first nanny. And that's how because he's a very sensitive little boy. And so when Lizzie gets there, she devotes herself to him, and gradually she begins to, you know, things begin to improve, and the staff and his family see this and they warm to her as well.
I mean, it is a very kind of emotional ride, isn't it, the book? But we also have the relief as well that she finds love herself as well.
Yes, she does. Yes, but of course there's the, although she's born into the upper class and the family lose their fortunes in tragic circumstances, she keeps this hidden for a while, but they do find out that she's open with her employers, but the staff don't know at the start. But she just wants to be plain Lizzie Ingham. She doesn't want any titles or any fuss, you know.
So the novel touches on themes of love, loss and personal resilience. How did you approach weaving these elements into the narrative?
Well, I suppose it came about because I sort of set what had happened to her. And I think for she was a debutante, you know, she'd been through the season, she was engaged to someone of good standing, you know, suitable. But that all fell apart with the family tragedy, the family circumstances being, well, they lost all their possessions and their fortune, you know, they lost everything. And I think that I thought, well, with a girl with a strong character would learn from that and would be sympathetic and empathetic with other people.
Yeah, I get that. Your own story is as inspiring as the characters you create. You were born in Gainsborough in Lincolnshire. You moved to the coast at the age of seven and began a lifelong love of the sea and landscapes of Lincolnshire that inspires much of your writing. What inspired you to set No Greater Love in rural Derbyshire and during the years leading up to World War I?
Well, I don't live in Lincolnshire anymore. I spent over 60 years there, but we moved to be nearer family as we got older. So I live in Leicestershire now. But we love Derbyshire. My husband came from Derbyshire. And I also wanted to move out of Lincolnshire a little bit. You know, I've done some Sheffield books, don't you? And Nottinghamshire and Leicestershire and Derbyshire. it's just in our neighbouring counties. I don't sort of go to Wales or anything like that, you know, and I keep to the neighbours.
Is it about writing about what you know about?
Yes, exactly. And I feel an affinity with, you know, Yorkshire people, Derbyshire people, Nottinghamshire people, but I wouldn't get into the mindset of say, Welsh people. Or I did write about a Scottish last once, but that was because I have a fortunate enough to have a Scottish sister-in-law who helped me. So, you know, I sort of got that okay, I think.
You tend to write around hard times as well, particularly leading up to the World Wars. This is set leading up to World War One. Why is that, Margaret?
Well, sagas traditionally are the first half of the 20th century. They can start a little bit in the end of the 19th century, in the 1800s. But they're traditionally the first half. And of course, a saga is set over a number of years, so you're always running into a war, to be honest.
Absolutely.
But it's also, these books have to have conflict. So you create conflict between the characters. But if you've got the additional conflict of a war going on, it ups the ante, as you might say.
You are the queen of sagas as well, we know that quite well. But I just wondered, have you ever thought about writing anything more contemporary, maybe set against the troubles that we have in the world today, which are many?
No, that's the short answer. No, I haven't. My interest and my themes are in the first half of the 20th century. I'm not... I don't know enough about today, what's going on. You know, I mean, I keep up with the news, obviously, but not to write about it, not to have that depth of knowledge of everything that's happening. So I stick to what I've grown up with, you know, whatever.
Your passion for storytelling, it began early. I think you became a published author at just 25, and since then you've penned a rich catalogue of best-selling sagas, including Plough the Furrow, Sow the Seed, Reap the Harvest, which make up your beloved Lincolnshire Fleethaven trilogy. And then there's obviously the other notable works, including Fairfield Hall, Jenny's War, and The Clippy Girls. Is there a particular book, Margaret, or character that holds a special place in your art from your previous works?
Yes, I think it has to be Esther Everett in the Fleethaven trilogy, because when I wrote Plough the Furrow, I hadn't been in paperback. I just had a few hardbacks published, and they were light historical romance and action suspense based on Skegness Lifeboat, you know those, but I wanted to be in paperback, that was my dream, and Plough the Furrow did it for me. So yes, that book is very special. And also, a little bit of a personal aside, I wrote that just after I lost my mother, and I felt she knew my ambition, and so that sort of answered to dreams, should we say, to be in paperback.
I think a lot of your fans dream about seeing you work on TV or on the big screen. We've talked about this before. Is there any plans? Is that something you'd still like to see happen?
Oh, I'd love to see it happen. But if you think about all the saga writers, there's very few that have got on TV. It took Catherine Cookson a long, long time. And some of the well-known names still haven't managed it. So I don't lose any sleep over it, but it would be fantastic if it was to happen.
Yeah, you've had a long and successful writing career with over 30 novels that we've mentioned, Margaret. What's been the most rewarding aspect of being an author for you?
Well, it's a thrill to go walk into a shop and see your books on the shelf. It's a thrill to go out signing and meeting your readers and getting feedback. I've loved that. I can't do quite the chores I used to do. I used to do about 25, 30 signing sessions in the tour, but I can't manage that now. But I still love to get out and meet people if I can. Well, and I still do talks locally as well to ladies groups, WIs and so on.
Well, a little bird tells me that not only are you 83 years young next week, but you're going to be out travelling and working and signing. You never stop, Margaret. I mean, what's your secret? I mean, you're so inspiring. There's people in their 20s haven't got your work ethic. What's your secret?
I just love what I do, I suppose. I suppose that's the the basic answer. I just love the whole thing. I love the writing, I love the editing, and I love when a book comes out and you can get out and meet the readers. Because writing itself, when you first, you know, writing the story down, that's quite a lonely occupation because there's only me to do it. But so it's nice to get out and meet the people who enjoy your book.
As a seasoned author, do you have any advice for aspiring writers who are looking to get started in the industry, Margaret?
I say that decide what genre you want to write in, whether it's saga or modern present day romance or whether it's crime fiction. Read a lot of the books that you admire and analyse them. You know, why have they got into print? Why have they been published? And then also read the how-to books, how to write, and take advice from that. And probably one of the most helpful things you can do is to find a really good established agent, and they will always, you know, if they take you on, then they will advise and guide you.
What continues to inspire you, Margaret? How do you maintain your passion for storytelling?
Well, the stories just come. I'm very lucky in that. I thought everybody had stories coming into their head until I got older and I was writing and people were saying, well, how do you think of them? And I'm thinking, well, can't you think of them? And no, people don't. But I'm very fortunate. I think that's a gift I've been given. I humbly acknowledge that, that I just get these stories that come.
Now, we mentioned earlier that they are very emotional, your stories, and I did say it's time to get out the box of tissues. Is it important for you to touch emotions, and is it time to get the box of tissues out for no greater love?
Yes, I think it is. I think it certainly is with this one. I always say I have to make myself cry at some point in the story. I have to get the tears myself to know that I've cracked it.
And this one does it, does it?
Oh yes. I think there's a couple of places actually. So.
Brilliant. All right, well, listen, I always ask for an exclusive every time we chat. I know you are working on a book for 2026. Can you tell us what it's going to be called, anything about it?
I can't tell you the title because what happened, I had thought of the title and I never, although there's no copyright on titles, I don't like to have a clash, you know, a conflict with another author. And unfortunately, the title I've picked, there is one that's going to be published at the same time next year, so I can't have the one I thought of. So now it's difficult to think of a title. What I can tell you is that it's based in a Leicestershire town, and again, it's leading up to the First World War, but it brings in the suffragettes at the start. These two girls get involved with the suffragette movement, and then we go to the First World War. So that's basically what its theme is.
Brilliant. And I'm sure fans will be delighted to know that they've got that to look forward to. Now, you know, nothing lasts forever, but you seem to. Now, have you got any plans to hang up the typewriter, or are you going to just keep going?
No, I'm not planning to hand it up. It'll give me up at some point, probably, but no, as long as I can think of the stories, as long as I can type. I've just had two cataract operations, so I can see beautifully now. And I shall keep going as long as I can.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Well, listen, just to remind everybody, No Greater Love is published by Pan Macmillan. It's out now in hardback and will be available in paperback and as an audiobook from April the 24th. And so you can get your copies from all bookshops, online outlets, and at www.panmacmillan.com. There'll be full details and links with the story on this web post. Margaret, as ever, always a pleasure to speak to you, and good luck with No Greater Love. I'm sure it'll be another Sunday Times bestseller, and good luck with the next novel as well, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Graham, and take care.